are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for numerous outlets, including Forbes, The Athletic New York, Inside Football, Big Blue View, and others, just to name some. Normally, we have a Twitter Tuesday here on the show, but because of the breaking news that we had earlier in the week, and there was a lot going on between the trade deadline, the arrest involving Kyle Lauletta and whatnot, we have pushed Twitter Tuesday to today. So we're going to make this a very special Twitter Thursday. Now, before I jump into answering your questions, I did want to say that we got a lot of questions from all of you, and I thank you so much for all these questions. They're really, really wonderful. I'm not going to get to all of them on this show, but what I am going to do is on subsequent shows, I'm going to try and get through every single one of the questions that I have on this little script of mine. So make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants. And also, before I get into your questions, just want to remind you of what's coming up later this week. We're going to have New York Giants defensive back Michael Thomas will stop by, talk a little bit about the state of the team, his feelings moving forward, what he's planning to maybe do over the bye week, and some other stuff. So that should be fun. Mike Thomas is a great guy, and I'm really looking forward to having him come on the show. And then for you Seinfeld fans, coming up on a future show, we have a special guest. This person, I won't mention him or her, but this individual did some work with the television series Seinfeld, happens to be a very big Giants fan, and the person in question was kind enough to sit in as a co-host with me. So we sat around and we pretty much talked about the state of the Giants, told a few jokes, had a few laughs. So it should be a pretty fun show. All right. We are on a Twitter Thursday. So let's get right into your questions. All right. So I'm going to start off with a fun question of sorts. This is from Agent X, who said he's tired of the same old questions and wants to know, what's your favorite stadium to visit on away games, and what is your favorite thing to eat there? Great question. Okay, so just so you know, I have been to just about every NFL stadium with the exception of Buffalo and the new Atlanta stadium. So I can't speak to those, but I would say my favorite stadium to visit is probably, I'm going to say Seattle. I really like Seattle because it was within walking distance. It's a nice little, it's a nice stadium just to set up. The energy is really good. And as far as what my favorite thing to eat at a stadium, well, understand the media gets served a different cuisine, if you will. We get food that's provided for us in the press box. So it's not necessarily what is available to the fans. So, we basically, beggars can't be choosy. So you eat what you're given or you starve. That's how it pretty much works. So thank you for that question. All right, football questions. This is a roster building question, comes from Will NYG. Wants to know, just curious, should we keep Landon Collins? What kind of money are we going to have to pay him? And is he worth it? The answer, first off, as you know, Landon Collins was rumored to be on the trade block. He was not moved. And as I have said before on this program, the Giants at some point have to identify young talent from the rubble of this season that they want to build around. And Landon Collins, in my mind, even though he may not be having the type of season that he had a couple of years ago when he was a Pro Bowler, he is definitely a player that you can build around. Now, here's the interesting thing about Landon Collins regarding the money. Now, if the Giants want to keep him, they may have to franchise him next year at a rate of around $12 million. Well, here's something interesting. I looked at the salary cap space for 2018, this year, and the Giants have approximately $6.7 million in salary cap space. Now, I was thinking, you know what? That's a lot of money. Now, assuming that they don't have to dip into that money to sign guys who, you know, to replace guys who are injured on the roster or whatnot, if they can somehow salvage some of that money, why not look to get Landon Collins re-upped this year? Get him at a low base salary, you know, get his signing bonus in place, and then have that prorate over the life of the new contract. So basically, you would be tearing up this year and just starting with a brand new contract. I don't know that they're going to do that, but it's a thought, and I think it can work with the money that is available. Now, that if they don't use up what they have, obviously that rolls over. As well as any credits that they have coming. There's going to be some end-of-the-year accounting that will be done, and they'll see exactly how much they'll have to roll over into 2019. So thanks for that question. Michael F. wants to know, since we are clearly in draft pick accumulation phase, I was wondering if you could help us understand how compensation picks work. I read that cutting Cody Latimer and Michael Thomas before week 10 would net us some picks. Is it true? Does Cody Latimer being on IR change things? Okay, Michael, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the formula is for compensatory picks. I have a rough idea what it is, but I have never really sat down and done the math to figure it out and see if my theory matches what actually is. Is it something that I'm going to look at? I think it's time I do. You know, I mean, if I can learn the salary cap, I think I can come pretty close to figuring out that secret formula that it takes into consideration free agents' gain, free agents' loss, snaps, salary, and all that good stuff. So, you know, unfortunately, I can't give you an idea on how it works. But as far as cutting Cody Latimer or Michael Thomas, I'm going to tell you right now, Michael Thomas isn't going anywhere this year. He's a team captain. He's a leader. He's very well respected in that locker room. And he's not a bad player. So I don't see him going anywhere. Regarding Cody Latimer, I would be very stunned if they waive him off of a IR. I think they like him. I could see them maybe bringing him back next year. But to answer your question, would it change anything that he's on IR? You got to remember something. When a player is on IR, in order for them to move on from him, they have to give him an injury settlement. So again, I don't know how the salary and the injury settlement, which, you know, is a certain percentage of a player's contract, how that would factor into the compensatory pick formula. But my guess is they are not going to move on from either one of those guys this year. So sorry, but I'll try and get some information on that and be able to hopefully speak more about that in the future. Okay, from JM wants to know, now that we are here in the middle of another bad season, I wanted to ask, where do you think it started to go wrong for Jerry Reese? All the players in his first draft, 2007, contributed to the Super Bowl win, and I was expecting years of great drafting to follow. Oh, where did it go wrong? Here's what I think, Jay. Jerry Reese, first of all, that 2007 draft, you got to remember, he scouted that team, or I should say that draft, and put together the draft board. Because remember, he served the dual role of, you know, player personnel director and general manager. He didn't hire Mark Ross until after that 2007 draft. And what happened, I think, is the Giants moved away from the tried and true formula that had gotten them, you know, back to the glory days. And by that, I mean, Jerry Reese and Mark Ross believed in building from the outside in instead of from the inside out. When you put together a roster, you always want to make sure you have good guys in the pit. You know, that includes the offensive line and defensive line. Well, Jerry and Mark Ross, for whatever reason, decided to add all these shiny new pieces, you know, an Odell Beckham Jr., an Evan Engram, you know, cornerbacks, safeties, tight ends, running backs, and they didn't really devote resources to the offensive line or the defensive line. Now, we look at the offensive line, If you remember, there was a story that came out that former offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride started asking for offensive linemen as early as 2010 to start getting them ready to prepare, you know, to fill in for the line that helped win the 2007 Super Bowl. Well, the Giants didn't really address the offensive line until 2013 when they took Justin Pugh. By that point, David Deal was on his last legs. I think Chris Snee was banged up. I know Kareem McKenzie had retired after the 2011 season. You have to keep replenishing guys. And between adding these day three picks who were athletes and not football players and waiting, that's where things started to turn sour. And then you throw in all these gambles that they took. You know, the Ramses Bardens, for example, third round pick, who they traded up for, if I'm not mistaken. David Wilson, 32nd overall pick the year after they won the Super Bowl, a running back when they probably could have used offensive linemen, you know, other decisions that they've made, you know, also from the personnel standpoint, for example, choosing to let Linval Joseph walk away and sign John Beeson, who, you know, in his heyday was a great linebacker, but who unfortunately by the time he got to the Giants was so banged up that, you know, it made no sense to re-sign him. You know, decisions like that really put this Giant team behind the eight ball. And I started to see this in 2013. I said to myself, my God, these bad drafts are going to start to catch up with them. And unfortunately, it did. And now Dave Gettleman was left with a mess, you know. And unfortunately, it was a mess that you just can't clean up in one off season. So that's the long answer of it. Hopefully the Giants get back on track, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take, at least a couple of years, if not longer, to undo years of bad drafts and personnel decisions. All right, Giant fans, we're going to take a short break, and then I will be back, and I will answer more of your Twitter Thursday questions. So stay with us. Hey, Giant fans, interested in being a sponsor of the Locked On Giants podcast? Well, reach out to us today because we have a special second half of the season package available to get your company on Locked On Giants. For more information, email us at lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com to get the details, and you can hear your company's name mentioned right here on this podcast on a daily, semi-daily, or weekly basis. We look forward to hearing from you. Hey, Giant fans. Looking for tickets to the next home or road game? Or maybe you're looking for tickets to the latest concert or Broadway show, or perhaps even another sporting event. Whatever the event you're looking to attend, Vivid Seats has you covered. Simply visit Vivid Seats' website or use their app, available for download from the Apple Store or Google Play, to find the event and venue of interest. You can then sort by seat location or price to find just what it is you're looking for. It's really that easy. And because you're a valued listener to the Locked On Giants podcast, Vivid Seats has a special offer just for you. Receive $20 off your first order of $200 or more when you enter the promo code Locked On at checkout. Remember, every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download their app, and don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On to save $20 off your first order of $200 or more. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and today is a Twitter Thursday special edition. As we didn't get to your questions on Tuesday, we're going to try and get to as many as we can on this program. And those that we don't get to, I'm going to try and build in segments in upcoming shows because, hey, if you took the time to write in with a valid question or a good question, I'm going to do my best to get you an answer. All right, moving on. Marcel wants to know, do you think the play calling could be the issue? Should we look to Hugh? That would be Hugh Jackson, the Cleveland Browns coach who was fired this week. I've noticed young head coaches have super staffs to help them. Never was a fan of Shula in Carolina. Marcel, I don't think the Giants are going to bring in Hugh Jackson. I'm sorry. Mike Shula is the offensive coordinator. I really, really don't see Pat Shurmur making that change right now. You do bring up a valid question, though, about the play calling. You know, there have been times when some of what Pat Shurmur has called has been a head scratcher. And then if you go back to the Washington game when safety DJ Swearinger said something to the effect where he was able to detect trends from his film study. But here's the thing, you know, given what Pat Shurmur has on this team right now, the inconsistency of the offensive line, needing Eli Manning to play better, needing everybody to play better, the receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, everybody has to play better. Can he really be calling what he wants to be calling? I mean, I just don't know. So, you know, while the play calling has been a head scratcher here and there, it's also been 1 year in, and I think, you know, if we're going to give Dave Gettleman an opportunity, you know, more than one season to rebuild this team, I really think we've got to give Pat Shurmur, you know, a full season plus to see if maybe, you know, with additional talent, he'll be able to run what he wants to run, you know, to the fuller extent, and also if maybe he can change things up a little bit. And I fully think that once they come out of this bye week, the offense is going to look a little bit different. You're going to see some noticeable changes, some you won't see right away. But I think they're going to change up some things and, you know, hopefully get some better results. All right. Crest 4 wants to know, give me your honest assessment on the defense. I for one, like the coordinator and the scheme he is bringing. He is also doing it with players that aren't his. What do you guys think? I like James Betcher. I like the philosophy he brings to this defense. But like Shurmur, I question whether or not he has everything he needs to run exactly what he wants to run. Betcher, in speaking with the media, hasn't quite come out and said that, but he's kind of, I guess, hinted a little bit at that. You know, I don't have any exact quotes in front of me, but there's been times when he's been speaking that I thought to myself, oh, okay, so he's missing this or he's missing that. But, you know, he's trying not to say that, obviously, because no coach in their, you know, worth their weight in gold is going to come right out and say, well, I just don't have what I need. You know, some improvements, I think. I actually, let me backtrack a little bit. What I like about this defense, I think they have some good young talent on that defensive line. B.J. Hill is a stud. Dalvin Tomlinson is a stud. Kerry Wynn has been playing lights out. So, you know, they have a pretty impressive defensive front. At linebacker, you know, if Olivier Vernon can stay healthy, I think he can be a stud. I would like to see Lorenzo Carter play more, maybe a little more than Kareem Martin. I think a duel of Vernon and Carter as your outside linebackers can be very scary. Inside linebackers, Ogletree, he's getting by. I know there's issues with him in coverage, but you know he's still getting all that those guys lined up and doing what he's supposed to do. B.J. Goodson is, you know, trying to take advantage of his opportunity. So no problem there. In the defensive secondary, you know, obviously they traded away Eli Apple. I think Sam Beal is going to be the future at that spot. Janoris Jenkins, I just don't see him back next year. You know, he's going to finish out the year, obviously. B.W. Webb is in there now. And I really like what I saw from Grant Haley in the game against Washington last week. Sean Chandler played the slot. I liked what I saw from him. So I think they have the pieces. And then, of course, Landon Collins. We can't forget the captain, Landon Collins. And, you know, I think that they upgrade the free safety spot. Curtis Riley, you know, it's interesting. From what I can tell on tape, he seems to get everybody, or at least it looks like everybody's in the right position, but some of the angles and whatnot just not there from him. So I think they have the defense going in the right direction, just need to build on it, add a few more pieces, and I think that unit will be just fine moving forward. So thanks for that question. 01 Smicha wants to know, is it just me or does Eli look scared? Smicha, thank you for that question. I have been saying this for a while. Eli Manning has played behind an inconsistent offensive line for whatever the reason, whether it's injuries, whether it's, just a lack of talent or whatever. And I don't care who you are, if you are getting hit on over, 25% of your dropbacks a game or whatever, you're not going to be able to function. I mean, let's think about this for a minute here. Eli's been sacked 31 times through 8 games. He was sacked 31 times all of 2017. He is on pace to be sacked 62 times, and I don't even know off the top of my head how many times he's been hit. So yes, he's going to be skittish. Absolutely. And I fear for the guy, with every hit he takes, I sit there and I go, oh my God, is he going to get up? And at some point, when you talk about, do you want to switch Eli out? If for no other reason, just to spare him some of the beatings that he's taken. I mean, no quarterback should have to take that. And, people will say, well, he's not mobile. He could, if they had a mobile quarterback, this wouldn't happen. I don't believe that, guys. I really don't. I mean, you got to remember what a quarterback's role is. A quarterback's role is to throw the ball, not to be a runner. We saw that with RG3. We saw that, with other quarterbacks who end up getting hurt. You want your guy to drop back, pass, and just get the job done. Now, do you want him to extend the play if he has to? Sure. You could slide around the pocket. That's not a problem. But I don't want to see a quarterback running, becoming a running back, becoming like a Cam Newton. I just don't think that's part of what a quarterback should do, especially when you've got these these talented players that you're paying big bucks to. I mean, if the quarterback's going to take that on his shoulders, it's just, to me, a waste of resources. But sliding around the pocket, absolutely. So thanks for that question. Next question comes from Chris Alvarado, who wants to know, when is Hal Hunter fired? Hal Hunter is the Giants' offensive line coach. And, this is an interesting question because you look at the talent the Giants have on the offensive line, and you would have thought by now that unit would have gotten better. Now, I know they've had some changes with personnel. They lost John Jalapio. They replaced Patrick Omame. They got rid of Eric Flowers. They've had to redo that offensive line several times. But there are little things that if you watch the tape, you see things that just leave you saying, my God, what the heck is going on here? And, unfortunately, we are not allowed in the media to watch practices in season. So I can't sit here and tell you what exactly the linemen are being drilled on, what they're doing, and that sort of thing. But I do firmly believe that it all starts with coaching. And if the unit is not getting better, it's getting worse, that is a sign to me that the coaching is not where it needs to be. And I don't know that Hal Hunter's going to get, replaced this year. If he is, I would say probably after the season. I do think there's something to that theory that the coaching is at fault for part of the offensive line issues. So thank you for that question. Okay, moving on. John N. wants to know, why do you think the Giants have had such a difficult time identifying OL talent? Simply put, John, I don't know if they scouted it properly. I mean, when you devote day 3 picks to your offensive line, and I'm talking about the James Brewers, the Eric Hermans, the Matt McCants, Brandon Mosley's, those guys generally are, I want to say 50-50 to make your roster. And I think the lower the pick, the lesser the odds. You have to pick higher. And I don't know if it's because, college offenses have changed. I don't know if it's because the CBA, the NFL CBA doesn't allow for contact anymore in the off season. I don't know what the answer is there, but you have to get guys who are football players. You can't get guys who are athletes. You have to get guys that match the style of the quarterback you have. And if you look at the offensive lines that the Giants have had the last several years, they have been more finesse-type lines, not the maulers. That has been a bad match for what Eli Manning has, you know, what his strengths are. So if you're going to be all in on Eli Manning, you got to get a maulers. And I just don't understand why in years past, They passed over these guys for the shiny new parts. You know the Beckhams, who, you know, obviously he's a guy you want on your team. But you know, how much better would a Ryan Ramczyk or Zach Martin, who's been a Pro Bowler every year for the Cowboys, how much better would that pick have you know looked, and how much more mileage could they have gotten? If you remember when Eli won the first Super Bowl, the only bona fide, you know, really number one receiver he had was Plaxico Burress. 2011, he didn't really have a superstar receiver on that team, as I recall. So, you know, what does that tell you? You got to have protection. And you know, it's just been frustrating to see the Giants pass on offensive linemen. And hopefully Dave Gettleman will correct that moving forward. All right, Giant fans, we have lots more of your questions. We're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, so make sure you stay with us. Hey, Giant fans, isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes or for kid clothes that they're only going to end up outgrowing in a few months? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With swap.com, you no longer have to drive from store to store to store to sift through racks. You can now easily sort through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com, all from the comfort of your home or office, any time of day or night. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands such as Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily, and if something you order doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And as a listener to the Locked On Giants podcast, you can save 35% off select items on your first order when you enter the promo code Locked On during checkout. So stop by swap.com today. New deals and items are added daily, so you're sure to find something you'll want at a price you'll love. That's swap.com. SWAP.com. Welcome back to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are in the middle of a Twitter Thursday, a special edition, trying to get through as many questions as possible, all very good questions. And again, if I don't get to your question in this show, I'm going to try and build in segments in upcoming shows in which I try and get to whatever questions remain. So if you want to get a question into us at any time for a Twitter Tuesday, which is when we normally do the fan Q&A, make sure you tag them, ask P-Train. You can send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A, or you can send them to the LockedOn_Giants Twitter account. So make sure you get those questions in. Whatever's on your mind, we'll try and get to them. Okay, getting back to the questions. John Spielman wants to know, if Justin Herbert stays at Oregon, will the Giants trade down to collect more picks and choose offensive linemen in the early rounds? John, love you, love the question, but I'm, you know, when it comes to the draft, I'm going to reiterate this. I don't look at the draft until after the season, number one. Reason for that is I have my hands full with this team right now. And I'm literally writing or analyzing or looking at film on the team 7 days a week with no break. Also, the thing with the draft you have to remember is that right now, we don't know what the final class is going to look like. Guys who are in the draft now, who are maybe being, you know, touted as high prospects, You know, God forbid they could suffer an injury, or they might decide to stay in school. We don't know what juniors are going to apply. So right now, to characterize this draft, to try and guess what they're going to do in the draft, the Giants, it's too early. I know everybody's excited. I know everybody's looking forward because this season has been a wash, but I just don't have the answers for you right now with the draft. Now, with that said, in future shows, I'm going to try and get some draft analysts who do study this, you know, for a living, have them come on. Maybe we can run some of those questions by them, do a special Twitter Tuesday or something like that. And I also am hoping, you know, moving on to get some experts from the schools themselves to talk about their draft prospects. So sit tight. I promise we will have plenty on the draft coming up. Just not right now, I'm afraid. Sorry, John. Okay. Eric W. wants to know, when Kyle Lauletta eventually gets his shot to prove what he can do this year, is there anything he can honestly do that would prevent you from drafting a quarterback with the first pick? I really think, Eric, that the Giants are going to add another quarterback, whether it be in free agency or whether it be in the draft next year. Alex Taney, not the long-term solution. Eli Manning, who, by the way, I would not be stunned if he is back next year. I just have a feeling that you have not seen the last of Eli Manning. I know everybody wants to see him retire, you know, recoup the money that he's due to make. I think it's like $23 million or something like that. I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, he may retire if he continues to take a beating, and who knows, if God forbid he suffers a major injury behind that offensive line, he might not have a choice. But I don't know that it's a slam dunk that Eli won't be here next year. So now, to answer your question about Kyle Lauletta, obviously you want to see the kid take control of the huddle. You want to see him operate and make good decisions. You want to see him move the offense, and you want to see him score. All right, so those are all things that could potentially, you know, say to Dave Gettleman and to Pat Shurmur, you know what, we might be okay for a year or two or three with Lauletta as our quarterback. All right, now, what's not taken into consideration, and I don't know as I record this what's going to happen. You know, as you know, this week Kyle Lauletta was arrested for a traffic offense. And on a radio program with Mike Francesa, I know Pat Shurmur said something to the effect of, you know, that there may be repercussions for Lauletta to have to deal with. All right. So whether that means an internal fine, a suspension or whatnot. And we still don't even know what's going to happen with the league, because I believe what Lauletta's arrest means that the league is going to get involved because it's a violation of the personal conduct policy. So a lot of question mark there. And, you know, I know Ed Valentine and I spoke about this on our show earlier this week. It bothered both of us that Kyle Lauletta, the incident took place at 8:00 in the morning. And I know, I think I saw a tweet by, it might have been Jordan Renan, I'm not sure if it was him or not, but someone asked the players what time they were supposed to be in on the day that Lauletta was arrested, and they said 8:00. And if Kyle Lauletta is getting caught in traffic at 8:00, that's not a good sign. That's got to raise a red flag right there about preparation and commitment. Now, I don't know if that's a one-time incident. I'd like to think it is. But, you know, the point is that if you want to beat traffic, if you're really serious about moving up, you got to get your butt into the facility early. I mean, Eli's there at the crack of dawn. I know when Davis Webb was on the team, he was there at the crack of dawn. The two of them actually used to have a competition who got in there first and who was the last to leave at the end of the day. So you have to put the time in, because being an NFL quarterback, you can't just waltz in and you can't just do the minimum. You really, really have to prepare. And I really hope that Kyle Lauletta has learned from this incident and will, you know, straighten up and do what he needs to do. Okay, so thank you for that question. All right, moving on, we have a question about, let's see, Vin wants to know, what are the odds Dave Gettleman's times with the Giants is short-lived? I don't know what you mean by short-lived, if you're talking 1 year, 2 years, or whatnot, but I'm going to say this. Gettleman is not going to be a one-year GM. I know the results are not as, you know, they're terrible. They're worse than they were last year. But you got to give Gettleman an opportunity to fix it. You know, people say, well, what about his health? You know, he dealt with cancer. Folks, I dealt with cancer too. Different type of cancer. I went through it. I continue to work to the best of my ability. You know, I did have to cut back a little bit, but you can still work and you can still live your life when you're dealing with cancer and when you're recovering from cancer treatments. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, unless, God forbid, Gettleman's health takes a turn for the worse, I think he's going to be okay. He's got plenty of energy, plenty of you know, fire in him, and he's determined to fix this problem. So you got to give him... You got to give him some time. I mean, the Giants gave Jerry Reese, what, 10 years to get it right, to win championships? And, you know, if he got 10 years, then shouldn't Gettleman get multiple years too? I mean, just makes sense to me, I guess. Another Gettleman question, actually, from Lucas M. Why is the media giving Gettleman a free pass? Gettleman went all in on the notion the Giants were a good enough football team to compete, and huge franchise decisions were made based on that belief. All right. I understand where you're coming from, Lucas. They did go all in on this roster. But with that said, I don't think they anticipated the offensive line would be, you know, on its, what, fourth combination now. I don't think they anticipated that Olivier Vernon would suffer a high ankle sprain that would cost them, what, 5 or 6 games? I think it was 5 games. I don't think they anticipated Evan Ingram's dropsy's problem would continue. So there were a lot of factors that they were counting on to develop, you know, in a positive way and just haven't worked out. And yes, you know, Gettleman... made some questionable decisions. For example, signing Jonathan Stewart. Although that decision, I still think that decision was done with the idea of, you know, providing him with a mentor for Saquon Barkley. Now, could they have gotten Jonathan Stewart for maybe less? We'll never know, but, you know, I would think so. I mean, the contract was a head-scratcher. Patrick Omame, you know, they took a gamble on him. He didn't work out. You know, unfortunately, they moved a left guard, you know, a guy who played left guard most of his career. They moved him over to right guard. That didn't work out for him. John Jalapio, I don't think they were counting on him getting hurt. You know, so just a lot of factors that kind of curtail that going all in that Gettleman and nobody really could forecast. So, you know, yes, Gettleman has made some mistakes. I mean, nobody's ever perfect, but there were also circumstances that just were beyond his control. And it is what it is. You know, it's time to go back, clean up some of the mistakes. I mean, that's why they put erasers on the ends of pencils. So hopefully he'll get that squared away. Okay, let's do one more question. And that'll be from Tyler J. Wants to know, with Eli having been sacked over 30 times this year, do you really think a change at quarterback will change that outcome? It might. A mobile quarterback may extend the play, might be able to roll away from the pressure. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, if you can't step up and you can't throw the ball, if you don't have a pocket in which to operate, I'm not sure how much better the results are going to be. So that remains to be seen. You know, I wish, you know, we could see practice and be able to tell if, you know, how Kyle Lawletta is coming along. You know, the Giants for years have not allowed the media to watch practices in season. So we pretty much have to, you know, take whatever word we get from Shermer when we ask him about Kyle Lawletta, from the players and whatnot, and just see what happens when that time comes, if that time comes. So, all right, guys, great questions. And like I said, we still have a few more that I didn't get to, but I will try and get to them as we go on. So keep them coming. Again, send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com or tweet them to @Patricia_Traina on Twitter and tag them with the hashtag AskPTrain. So on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. And again, make sure you tune in later this week. We're going to have Mike Thomas, the Giants defensive back, on the show. We're going to have that special mystery guest from the Seinfeld television series. And a lot more coming up on Locked On Giants. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.